Stay connected to Boston sports.
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com.
Al Horford, 2 for 2 and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
The chant now, Bucks in 7. At least they got the math right. Celtics came back from big deficits twice in this game. Tatum misses a 3. Rebound headed out of bounds, and the Bucks will just have to inbound it.
Celtics, I think they got the basketball back here.
So Larkin will trigger the inbound. It's in safely to Yabusele, and the clock will roll down and hit triple zeros. And a series that really could have ended no other way is going to a 7th and deciding game.
The result is that our guys get to experience a game 7, which, again, we didn't want. But, you know, that's a game 7 in TD Garden is, you know, what you play for. It should be what you're, you know, most excited about, what you work for all summer, what you work for all year. It's a blast.
TD Garden is going to be great. You know, it's a basketball player, fan, you know, one of the places that you want to, you know, enjoy and be. It's the Garden, TD Garden for a game 7. And I've been on both sides, and it's tough about tonight, but I'm definitely, you know, looking forward to Saturday.
All right, Al's into it. Sounds like Brad Stevens is into it, somewhat reluctantly, because obviously he would have liked to have wrapped this up in game 6 on Thursday night in Milwaukee. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you at 617-779-0985. So the Celtics lose 97-86. We have this game 7 tonight. Are you people hyped for it? Because I feel like there's maybe a little bit of a lack of buzz. Is it because of the competition? You know, there's, all right, there's star power in Antetokounmpo with Milwaukee. I get you if you've watched this series thus far and it's felt like a slog outside of maybe 2.5 games. The rest of it, like, this Bucks team does nothing for me, Chris. I wanted this thing wrapped up quick so I didn't have to have it go 7 games. I don't know.
Okay.
It just feels like,
yeah. You're not a fan.
I always base a lot of things. And maybe I do this. This is my bad. But I always base this kind of thing in gauge buzz for a game on StubHub in the secondary market. And tickets seem readily available for tonight. And not as expensive as I thought they would be. I hear game 7, no matter what it is, like, yeah, let's go. Let's get into it. Yeah, all aboard the Seas train. Let's go for tonight.
I was wondering what that was. Yeah. There it is. Yes, the Seas train.
And look, despite the fact that they drove me nuts in game 6 the way that they played, as good as Marcus Smart was being back in game 5, you got everything bad about Marcus Smart and a lot of hero ball from him in game 6. Same for Marcus Morris. Same for Terry Rozier, who started hot 4 for 6, then finishes 1 for 11. They were just the hero ball from those three guys alone were driving me nuts in game 6. But I can't say I'm that surprised because, and maybe this means this is why we're getting some of the lack of buzz for this tonight, is this just feels rote in terms of the NBA playoffs. This just feels like one of these series that, of course, it's going 7 games. And home court is ultimately going to be in whoever's team's favor, and obviously it's the Celtics, and they're going to get the calls. And I also have to believe that the league, and we know there's still dubious calls in the NBA, I have to believe that the league wants Philadelphia-Boston more than Philadelphia-Milwaukee, even though they have Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
I think you're going to get more casual viewers if you have Philly-Boston. And selfishly, I want that because I think that's the beginning of what is going to be a long rivalry here, considering the youth on both of these teams going forward. Either way, I'm hyped for it. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm definitely excited for it. I like the Celtics because they have the home court. That's the way this series has gone. Obviously, game 1 went into overtime, but it took a real miracle shot from Chris Middleton. Milwaukee has not shown me that they can finish down the stretch in one of these games to beat the Celtics here. That doesn't mean that they can't do it today, but they haven't shown it yet. And the way I look at this series and really game 6 for the Celtics is I think you are seeing in real time the ups and downs and the growth and the stumbles of the young players, of Rozier, of Jason Tatum, of Jaylen Brown, and what you're seeing is sort of inconsistency and inability to close teams out on the road. And this will be another step for these guys. And it was interesting after game 6 because I asked Al Horford about going into game 7, and it was something he's experienced in his career. And obviously last year the Celtics won a very exciting game 7 against the Washington Wizards. And there's some of the same guys on the team now. Jaylen Brown was part of that. Marcus Smart was part of that. Terry Rozier was part of that. And obviously Al Horford was part of that. But Al said, and I agree with him, that this is all new. Like, that doesn't count. Because even the guys that were there, like Jaylen, like Marcus Smart, like Terry Rozier. Now their roles are completely different.
Oh, yeah. No, their minutes are basically doubled.
Completely different roles where they have to deliver. And even Jason Tatum, you see that. He's a rookie. He has to deliver. And I thought it was interesting. You know, he played great in the second half of that game. There's no way the Celtics are in that game in the fourth quarter without the way he played. 16 points in the second half. Yet, to me, he committed the biggest mistake of the game. They're down 87-81. They get the ball back after Thon Maker's out of bounds on that loose ball. And he, I don't want to say he threw it away because Bledsoe made a great play, but he commits a turnover on that inbounds play. And then they go down the other end, and Giannis scores on a second chance basket. And that was huge. And that's what you're sort of seeing. You're seeing both sides of the coin with the Celtics relying on these young guys.
And that was a moment that it felt like, okay, this was too big for Jason Tatum. And that game as a whole for Jaylen Brown, as good as he's looked for the most part for this series, my God, I was yelling at my TV, does he need glasses? Like, did you see him at the free throw line? I mean, coming up
as short
as he...
I saw that tweet. Yeah, that tweet. I saw you tweet the glasses thing right after.
Dude, like, I have that kind of terrible depth perception. You're an NBA player. You've looked fantastic. Like, you've made a big, you know, you've grown in this series. I just felt like he was a little too tight in game six.
Yeah, I don't know if it was too tight or, you know, the three-point shot didn't go down for him. He was one of six. He shot 6 of 15 overall. What was the play? I'm trying to remember. There was a play. I think he went to the rim to dunk it, and Thon Maker got him. But this is the thing, and you talk to people who have covered the NBA. Like, for me, you know, Jackie McMullen, she's somebody where whatever comes out of her mouth, like, to me, you know.
It's gospel.
Yeah, it's the gospel. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for. And she's oftentimes said that the difference between, you know, guys that have potential and are superstars is consistency. And so Jaylen Brown's had two games in the series where he's been out of this world and scored 30-plus points, but he's not at a level yet, and you know I'm chairman of the Jaylen Brown fan club. He's not at a level yet where you can expect that on a night-to-night basis. And that's really the issue for the Celtics. None of their young guys are at a level yet where you can say night-to-night, this is what we're going to get. Oh, 23 points in game one and two from Terry Rozier, but then 3 and 4 Milwaukee. He wasn't scary, Terry. He was terrible, Terry. He stunk.
Yeah.
Right? But then he comes
brutal.
Back. You know, the first half of this game, he was great. In the second half, he didn't do anything. And that's what the Celtics are dealing with. And it's like, which group is going to show up tonight?
All right. So that's the bigger question here. And for you, it's 617-779-0985. Celtics fans, what's your confidence level going into tonight's game? Because you've seen this inconsistency. You've seen these young guys look tight like they did in game six.
They also, not to cut you, they got to get the ball to Al. Like, you know, Al needs to shoot more because Milwaukee has not been able to stop Al in this series. And Al was 4 of 8 the other night. And when Milwaukee puts a lineup out there that has Giannis at center, you know, I'm trying to remember the exact five, but it's Giannis at center, Jabari Parker's out there, Middleton's out there, Bledsoe's out there, Brogdon's out there. That's the five. That's kind of Milwaukee's version of Golden State's death lineup, at least from an offensive standpoint. But that lineup is really susceptible on the other end of the floor. And I did not think the Celtics did a good job of taking advantage of that lineup. And that's what fouled out Giannis in game one, was he could not cover Al. This is a game where I think, as much as I just talked about the young guys, Al's been there before. Lean on Al. Al needs to take 15 shots in this game.
Danny in Wilmington, you're first up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Listen, game six was a nightmare with Marcus Smart, because game five he came with so much energy, and then game six he just reverted back to Marcus Smart. My thing is, I believe Brown and Tatum, they both need to have not a outstanding game, but they need to actually kind of produce
offensively.
Yeah, and look, the inconsistency has been on both sides. I mean, Malcolm Brogdon, great in game six. He had 2 points in game five. And that's been something for Milwaukee, too. So it's both sides with the inconsistency. I just look at it from a Celtics standpoint and say Al Horford dominated the Bucks during the regular season. He shot 70% from the field during
the
regular season against the Bucks. Yes, he dominated them. And he's dominated them in the series when given the shots and given the opportunity. Now, again, some people will say that's on Al. You know, Brad says he just wants Al to keep making the right basketball play. And one of those right plays happened in game five. It was a pass. It was the jump hook pass to Jaylen Brown for a huge basket. But I also think there are times where it's like Terry Rozier is 25 feet from the hoop and he's shaking Eric Bledsoe, and he is shaking him and he's creating space. And yeah, you can take that shot, but if you run the shot clock a little more, you work the ball a little more, you can get the ball to Al at the high post and let Al go to work, because that's your best matchup. Like, that's the thing. And that's one area where I think Rozier needs to grow is understanding game management. He is so talented, and he can make shots, and he can get by anybody pretty much anytime he wants. But it's, a lot of times being a point guard, it's not just about points or even assists. It's about running the offense and making sure that we're taking advantage of the mismatches and the matchups that we have. And I feel like sometimes they get lost with that. And Al is one of the best. He's the best matchup the Celtics have in this series. The Bucks have no answer for him, and they have not all series long. And the Celtics can't lose track of that tonight.
All right, Celtics fans, what's your confidence level heading into tonight's Game 7 of this first-round series? Celtics-Bucks with tip-off at 8 o'clock. It's going to be John Wallach on the call with Cedric Maxwell right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Let's hear from you on tonight's game, 617-779-0985.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
This is Kyrie Irving on the home of the Boston Celtics, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Take us with you on your phone with the TuneIn app.
That's too easy right there.
It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's just insane. I just couldn't believe it. Like, nobody does that. Like, the first play, he's back after, you know, 6 weeks out with a surgically repaired thumb. I mean, he just dives with that right arm going for a loose ball. And he's a unique guy that way. And I'm not sure I could think of anybody else that would do that.
Celtics president of basketball ops, Danny Ainge, on with Tucker and Rich earlier this week. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. And he's right. Like, Marcus Smart's an animal, and I love him. And he won Game 5. Even the Milwaukee Bucks essentially said so after the game. But the Marcus Smart you got in Game 6 on Thursday, I mean, you were there, Chris. It looked like they were playing him different. They left him open. He shot way too much. He's a bad shooter. We all know that. So I guess, you know, part of the question going into tonight's game, when I ask how confident you are as a Celtics fan, is one of the things you have to ask yourself is, what Marcus Smart do you get tonight? If I had to bet with the money on the table, Marcus Smart's going to make a big play or two. Like, you're going to get those bad shooting nights where you want to put your head through your television where you're screaming, like, Marcus, no. It happens a lot with Marcus Smart, unfortunately, at least offensively. But again, his best attribute, the ability to frustrate, annoy, make those defensive plays, you're going to get that out of Marcus Smart tonight. I have to believe that you're going to get good Marcus in Game 7 tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, and he'll make those energy plays. I think the one thing with him is that if he just does what he does on the defensive end, and he is good. I just mentioned about Rozier not always being aware of where the matchups are and what the plays should be and where they should funnel the offense. Marcus Smart normally is aware of that. Now, there are times that I think that he takes shots he shouldn't take, but a lot of times that's with the shot clock running down. So they just need Marcus Smart to play within himself. You know, he doesn't have to go out there and play hero ball and win it. But if he plays within himself the way he did when he first came back in Game 5, that would be a big boost.
Chris and Avon, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't really know. I don't know why no one's getting on Terry Rozier for jacking up all these threes. I swear to God, the last time he hit one was the last time that Beal did a sit-up. I mean, the guy, every time the guy shoots, it's clang off the rim, clang off the back, and he just keeps going at it.
Well, the other night he started 4 or 5 from three. So, I mean, he had it going early on.
And he finished the night 1 for 11.
Yeah, so I mean,
this is why anytime that comes up, like, pick a guy. Is it going to be Rozier or Smart?
Yeah.
Smart or Rozier? Which one
yeah.
do you want? The inconsistency of Rozier drives me nuts. And this is why, and Smart's, you know, all the attributes and everything you get from him defensively is
yep.
why I go Marcus Smart. But Rozier, he's just too inconsistent. You saw it again Game 6.
Yeah, but I mean, to sit there and say, when's the last time he hit a three? I mean, he, you know, you built a lead earlier in the game, and he's 4 or 5 from three-point range. So, I mean, you have to be accurate and consistent about it. But, again, that's my whole point. I mean, when you look at the series, the Celtics, you are watching them figure it out in real time, and it's not always pretty. And that's
sure.
the thing with these young guys. There are going to be stumbles along the way, and that's what separates young – like, look at Donovan Mitchell. The reason I think Donovan Mitchell is the Rookie of the Year is because he's the best player on a playoff team in the West that advanced – and he has to do it every night. He had 38 last night. You know, he has to score 20 a game pretty much every night for that team to win. He doesn't have games like Terry Rozier where it's like, oh, I scored 23. Oh, now I just scored 7. If he does that, Utah is done. And that's the difference between a guy that has arrived and a guy that's still going through the process of arriving. And I would still put Jason Tatum in that category. That's the difference between Jason Tatum and Donovan Mitchell. The consistency is not quite there yet. Now, Tatum's a lot more consistent than Rozier and a lot closer to Mitchell, but to me, he's not there.
Paul in Somerville, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Go ahead.
What's up, guys? First of all, I'm pretty confident about tonight. I'll be in the building. You guys are absolutely right. They got to play through Al Horford. And I think with the younger players, there's going to be less of those really annoying, unforced turnovers you saw on Game 6. As frustrating as that was, a lot of those errors were enforced. They'll be more comfortable at home. But real quick on Rozier, you guys are absolutely right. he's a good scorer, but his feel for the game is lacking as a point guard. A lot of times the offense just stalls with him running around the perimeter and not knowing what to do with the ball. It's going to be real interesting to see what they want to do with him in the offseason, considering he's going to be a free agent coming up in about a year, and they have Smart already a restricted free agent. I think Smart just brings a little more intangible as far as ball handling and playmaking than Rozier does at this point. And they might be losing Baines in the offseason as well as Von Rose. They might want to move Rozier for a big man.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, I don't want to get to the offseason just yet. Let's try to win tonight's game and then see how far they can go with the Philadelphia
76ers. So I have a question for you. Because you were, I mean, again, you've been, you know, honestly, on this show, you've been right about more NBA things than I have, and I know we'll eventually get to you crowing about the Pacers. But you also stated that if the Celtics did not get out of the first round, that you would view it as a failure.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest with you, because I said, hey, no Kyrie Irving, there's no way, that's not fair. But now that I've watched the series play out, I'm with you.
Oh, really?
I am.
What was the thing that really changed your mind?
Watching them play, well, a couple things. One, this matchup with Milwaukee before the series even started. I said, oh, geez, this is their best matchup because Milwaukee has a mismatch of pieces that don't necessarily fit together and haven't really played together this year because of health. They have an interim head coach. I started to look into the way Milwaukee plays. They're a terrible rebounding team, even though they out-rebounded the Celtics the other night.
And they love jacking up those threes, even though they're terrible at it.
Yeah, they don't. Well, you know, it's funny. They actually, the percentage of threes they shoot is actually not that high relative to other teams, and neither are their makes. But they don't shoot a high percentage of from three. So they're not a great rebounding team, and they're not really good from three. And then to watch the way the series played out, they took a 2-0 lead in the series. And there were winnable games. I mean, at this point, if you take a 2-0 lead, you're up 3-2 with two chances to close, the final one at home, and you don't get it done, I got to say you were right, Jim.
Oh, I love hearing this. Let's go to Jim in Rhode Island. Your thoughts on tonight's Game 7?
Tonight's Game 7? You threw me off there. I was thinking we're going to be fine, but here's the deal. About Al Horford, people saying it's Al Horford's fault. Listen, I can get on Al Horford with the best of them, okay? He drives me nuts. He makes me scream. He's like the one player on the team that kills me like that. But the real issue is not exactly Al. It's the fact that even when you look at Game 6, okay, when all those terrible turnovers, it was like pulling teeth to watch, right? Every single time that Milwaukee went on a run, Brad cited defense, and that's definitely a part of it. But you know what it was? It was hero ball by all of these guys. They're just trying to do too much because they're young, and that goes into Gasper's point. It's like Rozier knows he has the skills to score on anyone. And right now his confidence is actually too high because all those guys just aren't moving the ball, which is exactly what Brad was preaching, is move the ball, move the ball, move the ball. And if they make the right basketball plays, Al will touch the ball more often, and I think we'll be fine.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim. Yeah, I agree with you there. In terms of Game 6, it was a winnable game. And then the hero ball in the second and the third quarters was too much, and they're better shooters like Rozier. They had a bad night. Defensively, though, too, it was just a bad overall game for them.
Can I say one other thing? And this is going to be – this is me. I don't want to say it's a criticism. I would say it's more of a critique of Brad. I think it wounds Brad personally how well Milwaukee has played offensively against – his defense in this series, I think that bothers him. And he is right when he says that the identity of the Celtics is defense. However, Semi Ojeleye cannot play the minutes he's playing. He can start, you can use him. But when he's out there offensively, they're in situations where it's 4-on-5. And I've seen it. I've seen it from covering these games. What ends up happening is whoever has Semi Ojeleye, whether it's Jabari Parker or Antetokounmpo, they plant a foot right outside the paint, almost like they're lining up for a free throw, and they let Semi go to the corner, and they're just sitting there playing free safety, roaming, waiting to help. It is 4-on-5, and I know Semi helps them slow down Giannis, but the reality is Giannis is going to get his points. And I thought the other night it was too much Semi. Semi didn't do anything wrong, but he's just limited offensively. And when you have him out there, it makes it harder for the other guys that we are criticizing, the Roziers, the Jaylen Browns. It's harder for them to find space because now Shemi's defender isn't defending him. He's a free safety roaming to help, and that changes all the rotations. And I think he's so fixated on, we got to stop these guys from shooting 50% from the field, in these games that he's playing Shemmy a lot, and I think they're losing something at the other end offensively.
All right, well, it's day three of the NFL draft. The Patriots were just on the clock. I'll tell you, Kyle Lauletta just got drafted, too. So what did the Patriots end up doing? Sarge is going to tell you in the Sports Hub headlines here, and then we're going to be back with Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe to preview tonight's Game 7, Celtics-Bucks, right here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Big Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. Game 7 between the Celtics and Bucks. First round series tonight, TD Garden. John Wallach, Cedric Maxwell, they're going to have the call right here on 98.5 Sports Hub. And joining us here on the Expert Hotline to preview the game, a guy who I think detests the music at TD Garden, maybe even more than I do, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. So Celtics 19-3 in Game 7s at home. Sarge has been giving us the help headlines, told us they've never lost a series when they start 2-0. So are you feeling pretty confident going into tonight's Game 7?
I mean, yeah, if you rely strictly on tradition, but I mean, I think this is going to be a tough game. You know, they haven't figured out a way to stop Giannis, and that was, you know, like, that's this part that if I'm a Celtics fan, that's a real concern. Because even in Game 6 where they, you know, they were playing well, and they came, you know, they got within two, and they had the ball, and you're trying to steal that game. Like, they basically, the Bucks went to Giannis, and he just simply scored, I think, 8 straight points. And, I mean, they don't have anyone that can counter that. And that would be a point of concern if I'm a Celtics fan.
Wash, where do you think the Celtics go offensively in this game, in Game 7? Because we've seen great performances in this series from Terry Rozier, from Jaylen Brown, and from Jason Tatum. Do they look to one of those guys, or is this a game where, look, you got to lean on your veteran, you got to lean on Al Horford, who the Bucks have had no answer for in this series?
Yeah, I think you got to go to Horford, too, also. I mean, I think one of those young guys has to step up. Somebody's got to hit some shots. I mean, you know, Rozier got off to a hot start in Game 6 and missed his last six shots. Jaylen missed a couple of open threes in the second half. Tatum has had his doubts with being tentative in terms of attacking the rim. You know, all those guys have to step up. I mean, they've got to step up and play, you know, grown man ball tonight. And I just think that's the key, because I think the Bucks are comfortable with where they're at. I mean, you've got Giannis is going to probably give you 30 and 10. And then Middleton has just been amazing in this series. He didn't seem like he misses a shot. So they got two guys that you can probably rely on to combine for maybe 50 to 55 points. So if you're the Celtics, you're going to have to get it from different sources. But, yeah, it might be an Al night where you just ride him and he gives you 20, 24 points.
Outside of Al Horford's Game 5, to me, Marcus Smart was, you know, the second biggest factor. He comes back and obviously gives him a big boost, especially defensively. But in Game 6, you get bad Marcus, 2-9, 6 points, minus 14, 2 rebounds. What Marcus Smart shows up tonight for Game 7?
Yeah, it's a great question. You'd like to think that if you're a Celtics fan, the home Marcus shows up, the Marcus who can get a steal and that can spark a team. And you hope that the bench players do play better in the situation at home. You know, your Semi Ojeles, you know, whoever they pull off the bench, you know, the Shane Larkins, you've got to hope that those guys step up. I mean, it's going to take a collective effort here. I don't think that, I mean, I think the Bucks are feeling pretty good about their chances of winning in terms of, hey, you could argue that they have the two best players in the series, and then, you know, Jabari Parker suddenly decided to play well. They got a couple of threes from, you know, invisible man Tony Snell the other night. So they come in with the confidence. I mean, these confidence swings in every series is just amazing after every game, you know. So I don't think the Celtics can just rely on being at the Garden in front of a raucous crowd. They've got to execute, get off to a good start, knock down some threes, you know, play strong defense, all of the above.
Wash, if by some chance the Celtics do not win this game and they don't get out of the first round, how would you evaluate that? I mean, would you feel like that's a failure? Obviously, they don't have Kyrie, but on the other hand, they were up 2-0 in the series, and they were up 3-2 with two chances to close it out.
Yeah, I would say it's a disappointing, not disappointing season because, you know, winning 55 games and without all the injuries and without Hayward, no one expected that. But I think you wanted to get out of the first round. Regardless of the injuries, you were the number two seed. So you were favored, and you're supposed to beat the seventh seed. And the Bucks are not a team. I mean, they were 44-38. Their team, as we've seen, they have their definitely shared weaknesses and guys who are inconsistent. So if you lose to them, and especially losing a game seven at home, losing the final two games, if this happens, yeah, I would say it would definitely be a real damper on a season that you could say was a real achievement in terms of the development of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
Yeah, so this is what I'm a big believer in, even with all these injuries, Gary, that if they lose this series, it's a disappointment. I mean, they're up 2-0. Brad Stevens, obviously the better coach, and you know he is one of the great young coaches, if not the great young coach in the league. I feel like his reputation maybe take a little bit of a hit if they were to lose this game, especially at home. So I want to know from you, do you think he would maybe change things up a little bit? Because one of the things that's frustrated me in the series is that he's continuing with a lot of like regular season substitution patterns, like pulling Jason Tatum at like the 5 or 6 minute mark. Do you think he switches anything up tonight for Game 7?
Well, yeah, I think you got to go all out. I mean, but it all depends on whether these guys are ready to play, 38 to 40 minutes and how they're playing. I think if you've got the hot hand, you keep them in the game. And I think Marcus has to make an impact. They need guys from the bench to step up and play well. So you got to have a good game from Lark and a good game from Smart. I don't know if you can just ride Tatum and Brown and Horford and go, okay, bring us home. You know, this is not the big three here. You know, you're gonna have to need good support when you're so painfully young besides Horford. Those guys are going to need help. I do think that they're capable, Brown and Tatum, especially making those big plays or hitting a big shot, and also Rozier. But, you know, are you going to play him, Rozier, 38 to 40 minutes? Last year it was Kelly Olynyk with the 26-point game that, right, that bailed him out against the Wizards. So I think it's going to take someone from the bench, maybe a Smart or a Larkin, even a player to buy an Aaron Baines or someone like that to bring this home.
Yeah, that's interesting in terms of what they have to do to bring it home. Aaron Baines is a guy, obviously, we haven't seen as much of because Semi Ojeleye has been put into the starting lineup. Do you think Brad sticks with that? And how effective do you think that has been, Gary? Because I do think he's helped them somewhat defensively, but on the other end of the floor, his guy is just a free roamer, just a free safety, and I think it makes it a little harder offensively for them when he's on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, they're offensively challenged already. Then you bring a guy who just is a little tentative with shooting. You know, that's the one thing Ojeleye is going to work on this summer, is just being more free offensively and working on his offensive game. And sometimes you look and it's like, well, what does he really do against Giannis? I mean, he just kind of provides resistance. But one, he's got to learn how to take a charge. And what I mean by that is he's got to flop some. Like, Giannis just pounds into his chest, and Ojeleye, who is this massively strong guy, as Brad said this morning, would probably be a Patriots draft pick. If you see him with no shirt, the dude's just cut. I mean, the dude looks like a monster athlete, and he doesn't move. Like, he's got to have a little Marcus Smart in him, man. He's got to flop some. He's got to get a charge. He's got to make Giannis not feel like he could just pound into his chest to get position to get that jump hook. And that's what, I mean, the defense of Ojeleye has been great, but it's sort of like it's too staunch. Like, he's got to dramatize this thing a little bit. He's got to take a charge. He's got to fall to the floor.
Well, he's got
to get a call or two. I mean,
well,
he can't.
Yeah. Gary, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. You're right. But you know what I've noticed? He has tried to take some charges on Giannis. I mean, one thing that happens there is, one, he's a second-round pick rookie. It's hard for him to get a charge. But two, he's not, like, smart in terms of being a good actor. Like, any referee can see that Shemi starts falling before there's even contact. So you know that he's flopping. Like, he just has not perfected the art of the flop.
He's got to try to draw a couple of fouls. I mean, they need to get Giannis a foul or two. They've gotten Middleton in some foul trouble over the last couple of games. Giannis just can't play free and just be allowed to just go in there and just dunk and get his, little jump hook or a left-handed dunk. I mean, they've got to provide some resistance on him. I think if the Celtics, get him to struggle a little bit, then the rest of the guys might crack. But I think this team totally feeds off Antetokounmpo, and if he's doing well, obviously they're going to do well.
All right, Gary Washburn, you're expecting a close but hard-fought Celtic win tonight, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think they have the advantage. I don't trust the Bucks. I don't particularly trust their coaching. I don't particularly trust the heart of the guys besides Middleton and Antetokounmpo. I just think they have a bunch of front-running guys, you know, your Bledsoes and your Parkers, the guys that just might not necessarily be winners. So I think that unless Middleton and Antetokounmpo both just go nuts, and I think it should be a Celtics win.
All right, Gary Washburn of the Boston Globe, national NBA writer for the Globe, of course, covers the Celtics as well. Follow him on Twitter at GWashburnGlobe. Gary, thanks for taking the time this afternoon.
Guys, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Wash.
When we come back, a lesser man would crow about the results of last night's Pacers blowout win over the Cavaliers. And a lesser man...
You mean not on social media? Because that's already happened.
No. No, you see, Chris, a lesser man would sit here and say, I told you so. Told you a couple of weeks ago. It'd be a real competitive series. A lesser man would do that. I am not that lesser man. But, alas, we will touch on last night's results. That is forcing a Game 7 between the Pacers and Cavaliers. That goes down on Sunday, so we'll talk about that. Coming up here in the final segment of the Sports Hub Celtics Show, right after this on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, and home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5 the Sports Hub. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
LeBron, I'm sure between now and Sunday, some people are going to have the opinion that there's more pressure on the Cavs in Game 7 in Indiana. You guys will be home. The Cavs have you. There's a new group of Pacers, and kind of they can play freely and, start a team that isn't expected to win. Do you buy that, and is it or not?
I feel like you just made that up. I feel like that's your opinion.
That was actually kind of funny from LeBron James. After last night's 121-87 blowout, Pacers over the Cavs. That series now tied 3-3. Means there's a Game 7 tomorrow at 1 in Cleveland. Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper. A lesser man would say, hey, who saw that coming? Who knew this was going to be a competitive series? A lesser man would sit here and go, caw, caw, and crow. But I am not that lesser man, Chris. We have a Game 7. Pacers and can I just say, yes.
A greater man knows that there is a word for that. It's called apophysis, and you're engaging in it right now.
I don't know that word. This is why we have you around for the big words that I have to go look up after the show.
Yes, look that one up. It's exactly what you're doing.
But it is truly – look, I thought it would maybe go six. I still think the Cavs are going to win Game 7. They're going to get the calls because as great as Victor Oladipo is to watch, and he went off last night.
Yeah, he's great.
The league is full of dubious calls. I can't see them allowing the Pacers to win this game tomorrow, unless it's just out of their hands like it is last night. But boy, if you paid attention at all to this series, no, and this isn't me crowing, seriously.
No, I'm just laughing.
This might be LeBron's worst team. And that's even the 2007 team that went to the finals and got swept by the Spurs.
Yeah.
This team stinks. And if you watch Kevin Love's body language like last night, he doesn't even want to be there. He is surrounded by bums. I almost kind of feel bad for him. Like, this is how he's going to go out there? This is what it feels like. And he took some of those questions last night, too, and just kind of poo-pooed that.
But did you see the end of that press conference? He gave that guy the side eye as he got up from, because I was watching on ESPN Live, and he gave that guy, before he got up, he gave him, the side eye. Like, come on, man, really?
So I expected competitive, but this is kind of insane. They really, in games like last night, they look completely overmatched. LeBron is, even though he's the best player on the planet, he's surrounded by such garbage that he basically has no chance, especially when Kevin Love plays like he did last night.
No, you know what, Jim? I have to give you a lot of credit in all seriousness. You were right about this, and I was dead wrong. I think when you look at the Cleveland team in the regular season, obviously there were ups and downs there, but I was thinking they put a younger, slightly more athletic team around LeBron. But when you look at the guys they put around him, this sort of goes back to Isaiah Thomas with the Celtics last year. In the regular season, it works. But when you get in the playoffs and you play the same team, you need guys that can create their own offense. And other than LeBron and maybe Kevin Love, Who on that team can generate their own offense?
No one.
Yeah. Except for maybe crazy J.R. Smith. Right, and you're like, don't shoot that, J.R.
When J.R. gets like one of those lightning in a bottle nights, which happen. I mean, we've seen it, but that's, you can't count on that.
Not at all. No, no. And even the offense he generates, it's not like he generates good shots. I mean, they're like fading out of bounds threes where you're like, don't shoot. Oh, it went in. Okay, good for you, J.R. Just don't do that again. It's like that type of thing. So they're really offensively challenged. And then, you know, what's been disappointing to me is they tried to get a little more athletic and they can't get back in transition against the Pacers. The Pacers is just like up and down again. I mean, the Pacers get a rebound and, like, you know, Tim Legler broke this down, worldwide leader last night, just showing these plays where it's like the Cavs have four guys behind the ball. They should be fine. And the Pacers get the ball and all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's a dunk at the other end. And you're like, what just happened?
Yeah, the other thing, too, I don't know how much of the postgame stuff you watched. Ty Lue, and I know he's been dealing with some health issues, but I have to bring it up because it was jarring to me to see last night, Chris. He's aged like how Obama aged towards the end. Like, photos of Barack Obama in 2008, and, you know, at the end of his two terms, it looked like he had aged about 50 years. Ty Lue looks like his hair's white now. Ty Lue didn't have white hair. In 2 weeks, Ty Lue looks like he's aged about 40 years. I feel bad for it, too. Stunning, though. And so let me ask you this.
Yes.
Because this question came up last night. I had an opportunity to be on Boston Sports Tonight.
Yeah.
So looking at this, and say the Cavs lose, is it the Raptors out of the East? Like, I just feel like it's such a crapshoot. And it's so...
Think it's Sixers.
You do, okay. Yeah.
I think it's the Sixers. I do, too. I really do.
I do, too. And it's what really frustrates me is, and I brought this up before, now that you look at the landscape of the East and how this series is playing out, dude, they don't even need to have both. If you just had Kyrie...
Oh, you're the favorite.
The Celtics are the favorites, and you're going to the finals.
Oh, I agree. I totally agree with you on that. Yeah, it's so frustrating. I mean, opportunity lost, just bad timing. I mean, even, look, it's been the whole season without Hayward, so we know what's up there. But even if, say, you know, Hayward came back, or if Hayward hadn't gotten hurt, if you had one of those guys, I think you're the favorite. Now, again, I'll be honest. I have completely underestimated Toronto all along, and I probably will underestimate them all the way to the finals if they make it.
Well, so that's the thing.
Just how I feel about them.
If the Pacers win tomorrow, I have to say Toronto, but I don't feel good about it. Because look, if it's the Cavs, they're not beating the Cavs. Like they're never going to get over the LeBron hump. I don't care how bad this team is.
Toronto?
Yeah, the Toronto Raptors will find a way to blow that series and lose, even if it is competitive. They're not beating LeBron. It's not going to happen. But if the Pacers win tomorrow, like, yeah, I guess it's the Raptors. I guess I don't know. Like I know they get a great bench. I know how well that they played this year. I still think that there's that inherent gutlessness in the Toronto Raptors, and I just don't trust that they would be able to get to the finals.
No, I don't either, and that's why I'm saying, you know, I would take the Sixers, because the thing that has changed, I think, with the Sixers is how much better their bench is. You know, Ilyasova coming off that bench. Marco Bellinelli has given them a lot off the bench, and they haven't really used Fultz all that much, but they have him in reserve. So suddenly they have a lot more depth than they had before, and they have more veteran guys in terms of Bellinelli and Ilyasova coming up. And, you know, TJ McConnell's a little bit of a pest, so they have more depth. And if Embiid can stay healthy, look out. I mean, that, to me, they would be the favorites. They would be my pick to make it out of the East.
Mark in Foxborough, you don't think there's any chance that the NBA is going to allow the Pacers to win tomorrow's game?
Even if Reggie Miller came through those doors, gentlemen, there is no way that the league would allow the Pacers to win. I mean, we saw it last night that the Pacers are clearly the all-around better team, even with LeBron, you know, on the other team. But you got to face the facts, guys. The big discrepancy tomorrow, and Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, will be the free throw discrepancy. I mean, you will see guys like LeBron James get to the line at least 15 to 20 times before the half, and you will see the Cavs up by a minimum of 10, and you can just change the channel because you know the league will want the Cavs in the finals against Golden State for a third time.
So I just look at it, and I think that you could have a situation. I just picture, like, Adam Silver in his office pushing that Buffalo Wild Wings button, you know, for the officials just to make sure. And I'll tell you this, if it comes down late in that game, and the Cavs are down by three, and Kevin Love does exactly what Paul George did last night, they're going to blow the whistle. That will be a foul, and there will be three free throws.
All right. Well, that will wrap up the Sports Hub Celtics show. But if you want to continue to talk about tonight's game, if you have any concerns about it, big game 7 with the tip-off at 8 o'clock. Again, you can catch that right here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. I'd like to hear from you at 617-779-0985. But we have to turn our attention back to the Patriots draft, which when we started the show a couple of hours ago, Chris, I felt conflicted about because I liked day one.
Yeah.
Yesterday left me confused. Now I hate it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate this Patriots draft, and I'll tell you why right after the Hub headlines here with Sarge as we get into hour 3 of Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.